Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This last one's a little bit, you know, last week was kind of hard to really put together on this mystery of iniquity, and we talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit was holding back the Antichrist until the church was taken out. That was that mystery thing. This is called the mystery of Israel's blindness, and we've been looking at the Word of God in basically 8 different places where Paul describes something as a mystery. And as your sheet says, the mystery is something that was hidden in the past but is now made known. Bottom line, it was things that were not revealed in the Old Testament but was now being made in the New Testament. And this morning we're going to look at one more key area, and it's misunderstood. It's called the mystery of Israel's blindness. Now, let me raise this question. How could God's chosen people, set apart by God to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, that when He came, how would they miss Him? I mean, their plan and purpose as a nation beginning Abraham on was, listen, we're telling about the Messiah. The Messiah's coming. He's the Savior of the world. And then when He came, they missed Him. If anyone would have been ready or should have been ready to accept Him and understand who He is and see Him when He came, it'd be the Jewish people. But how could they miss Him? And this is called the mystery of Israel's blindness. Now, we talked about this a little bit when we did the study of the book of Romans, when we went to Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, especially chapter 11, and we'll see how it ties together. Our goal, of course, is to understand mysteries and be able to put them together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, let a man regard us as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. And so we're stewards. We're to understand them and help other people understand the mysteries. Now, a lot of them we do know, because as we've got the revelation from the New Testament, we've put it together, we say, well, I understand that. But there are a lot of people who don't, and so we should be able to do that. May we understand the mystery of blindness of the nation of Israel, and how is it they missed the Messiah, and why did they miss the Messiah? That's even better. We'll start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the time we could come together. Lord, I just love this class. Thank you for each one that is here. We thank you for the privilege we have of studying your word. Lord, we ask you that as we look at this last aspect of the mysteries, the mystery of Israel's blindness, that you would teach us, that we could be able to put it together and understand it, and maybe even through asking questions, if it's not very clear on how I teach it, Lord, that we would understand it and be able to put it together. Thank you for your word and how perfect it is. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to begin by looking briefly at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at a couple of verses there, and we're going to see how some things fit together. And 2 Corinthians 3 is once again, sort of a hard passage in itself. Now, let me give you a little background, okay? Paul's writing to the believers in the church at Corinth, and he's talking about this mystery, or this ministry, let me say it that way, this ministry of proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. And he compares the glory of the gospel with the glory of the Old Testament law. Now, what he's going to say is, the law was glorious. In fact, it was so glorious that when Moses would speak with God and talk about the law, he would come back and his face would glow. It was so glorious. But he says, but you know, the gospel is more glorious than the law. And it's true. Law, grace is always greater than law. Always. And so he's going to talk about that. Notice verse 12. And let me give you the flow of how this fits. He says, therefore, we have such hope. We use great boldness in our speech. He said, we're talking about the message of salvation and the glory of the gospel. We have great boldness. He says, and we're not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look at intently at the end of what was fading away. Now, when I first started studying the Old Testament, and I saw that Moses would go speak with God, and we'd come back, his face would glow, and then he would put a veil over his face. I thought that Moses was putting a veil over his face because he was glowing from God and he was scaring the people. That's what I thought. Well, didn't you think that? But what I found out is, as he stayed away from God for a while, guess what would happen to the glow? It faded. So he put the veil over so they wouldn't see it was fading. That's why he said, we're not like Moses. We're not like Moses, who put the veil over his face so the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. Now, one of the things that we find is that he's using this analogy. Paul's going to say this. Just like Moses veiled his face and the people didn't grasp truth, Israel's veiled now so that they don't grasp the truth. Now, what are they veiled about? They're veiled about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Watch what he goes on to say. He says, their minds were hardened. The nation of Israel's minds were hardened. I've got it in verse 14, for Israel's mind was, or their mind was hardened, or their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. Now, he's using an analogy. He's saying, just like when Moses came back and he veiled his face, they couldn't tell what was happening. They're veiled today. He says, when they read the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, there's a veil over them, and their minds are hardened, and they're not able, now we'll go on and see it in a minute, they're not able to grasp the Messiah. Now, let me say it this way. We're talking about the nation as a people group. The nation of Israel as a people group are veiled to the Messiah. That doesn't mean individual Jewish people don't understand. In fact, the church began and almost all of the believers at the very beginning of the church were Jewish. And there are Jewish people who believe in Jesus Christ all the time. But as a nation of people, Israel is blinded. We're going to see why in just a minute. But his little analogy here is he says, we're not like Moses who put the veil over his face. Their minds were hardened, for until this very day, verse 14, at the reading of the Old Testament, when you start reading the Old Covenant, the same veil remains. Because it's removed in who? In Christ. Now the bottom line is this. When a Jewish person believes in Christ, that veil, that blindness is taken away. Talk about individually. And they can see how all this Old Testament and stuff fits together and the promises of the Messiah and how Jesus is indeed the Messiah. But the nation as a whole, as a people group, see, God chose them as a people. He didn't just choose individuals. He started with Abraham, but he chose, and these were his people. As a people group, he has blinded them. Now, we'd stop and say this. Okay, that doesn't really make sense. Why would he choose Abraham and Abraham to Isaac and Isaac to Jacob and Jacob to Judah and Judah and all the people and the 12 tribes and everybody telling anything and the Messiah coming? And then when the Messiah came, he put, in a sense, a veil over them as a nation. And the entire nation didn't say, there's our Messiah, there he is, Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't say that at all. In fact, they said, who is that guy? We don't believe that guy. What happened? It says he put this veil over the nation. Now, as I said, individual Jewish people put their faith in Christ all the time. But if we would say, do you think the nation of Israel as a people group today believe in Jesus as Messiah? What do you say to that? No, they do not. In fact, the truth is the nation of Israel as a whole doesn't believe in much of anything, not even Judaism. The nation of Israel as a whole, as a people group, about 70% of them do not hold to Judaism, Christianity, Islam, anything. Most of them, many of them, if you talk to them, said, we've given up hope. But something's going to change. Now, notice what it goes on to say. Verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, this veil is over their hearts, the nation of Israel. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And he's talking about individuals, not the nation. And so what we find as we get ready to get into this study, and we're going to turn to some other places in just a second, the truth is this, that the nation of Israel missed the Messiah. Why? Because God hardened them, blinded them, put this veil over them as a people group. So when the Messiah came, and he came into his own, and yet they, as a people, rejected him. We think that doesn't make sense. Why would God do that? That's the mystery of Israel's blindness, and we're going to see it in just a second, how it all fits together. So go ahead and you can turn to the top of the next page. We're going to get to that in just a minute because I've got the mystery of Israel's blindness. Guess what? It ties into the church. The church, the truths concerning the Messiah hidden from the nation of Israel as a people, they're blind, and that this is that mystery. Now, as we begin, let me remind you about the mysteries that we've seen. And it's pretty unique. And the reason I did this study is because if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, very simply, it says, let a person regard us as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. There are mysteries throughout the Scripture. There are things that weren't revealed in the Old Testament that were revealed in the New Testament. He says we need to be stewards of those. We need to know what they are and help other people. So that's why we did this study. Let me give you the outline. You remember, these are the list of the mysteries that we did. We saw the mystery of the gospel, which is in the sense that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that's the one we believe in who died and rose again. We got all those verses. Then the mystery of Christ is God. One of the mysteries was that the Messiah, that Jesus of Nazareth, was actually God. That's why Jesus would say things like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I and the Father are one. The third mystery that we looked at was the mystery of Christ indwelling. It was not made known that the Messiah would actually live inside people. That's the church. That's us. The fourth one is the mystery of the church, which is Jew and Gentile. It was not made known in the Old Testament that God was going to take Jews and Gentiles and bring them together in a body called the church. Church was never mentioned in the Old Testament. The very first mention of the church was when Jesus said in Matthew, he said, I will build my church, Matthew 16. That's the first mention of church, which we talk about the church all the time, but I want you to understand, you read through the Old Testament, there's never been a mention. The church itself was a mystery. The fifth one was the mystery of the church as the bride of Christ. It was also a mystery that since, and bottom line, anything dealing with the church is going to be a mystery, because the church as a whole was a mystery. The church is the bride of Christ. That was a mystery. Number six, the mystery of the rapture. Well, since the church wasn't talked about in the Old Testament, now that there is a church and the church is going to be taken off the face of the earth, which is called the rapture, that was a mystery. You can read all throughout the Old Testament, you'll never see where God's going to come and take a group of people off the face of the earth. You read in the New Testament, you find it. That's the church, the body of Christ. The one we saw last week was the mystery of iniquity, which is really a unique one, where we found that the mystery of iniquity is that the Holy Spirit is holding back the Antichrist to keep him from coming and being revealed until the church is taken off the face of the earth. The departure of the church. That was last week. And finally, the last one is the mystery of Israel's blindness. How in the world would God choose his people, have them do the plan, and then when time comes, he puts a veil over them, he blinds them, stops them as a people group from accepting the Messiah. Why would he do that? That's the mystery of Israel's blindness, and we'll see it as we look through it today. There's a lot there. As we begin, let's think about the nation of Israel. We want to get a little background and realize this, that God chose, and if you want to fill in your blanks, here's what we got. We're on the top of the second page where it says the mystery of Israel's blindness ties to the church and the background of the nation of Israel. God chose, you can put Abraham, you can put God chose the Jewish people, either way you want to, because Abraham was the beginning there, and it was Abraham to Isaac and Isaac to Jacob, but you can say God chose Israel, giving the message of a coming Messiah who would be Israel's King and the Savior of the world. So the blanks are God chose the nation of Israel, giving them a message of a coming Messiah who would be Israel's King and the Savior of the world. And that was the message. It's twofold. This Messiah is not only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the greater Son of David is going to sit on the throne, but he's going to be the Savior of the world. Does everybody get the blanks? Sometimes I go too slow, and so I don't want to go too slow and make you, you know, get fall asleep or something. So if you didn't get those blanks, God chose Israel, given the message of the Messiah who would be Israel's King and the Savior of the world. Now, you think about it. It started with this guy named Abram. We know that means Big Daddy. That's what Abram means. It means High Father, Big Daddy. And he left Ur of the Chaldees, crossed over the Tigris-Euphrates River, came to the land that God was going to show him and give him. And from Abraham there was Isaac, and Isaac there was Jacob, and Jacob there was Judah, and Judah went to David, and on. And all of these people, all this people group, are looking forward to the Messiah. They got the Messiah. That's who they are. The nation made known. Now listen to this. Think about the prophets who foretold of this coming Messiah. Isaiah said he was the suffering servant and the king. Jeremiah said he was going to come, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, he was going to come and make a new covenant. Ezekiel said, I saw him high and lifted up on his throne. Daniel said, I saw the Son of Man coming to take the throne. They all were looking forward to this Messiah. And then, at a point in time in history, at exactly the right time, Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son. That Greek aspect of fullness of time literally could be said, at exactly the right time, God brought his Son into this world. Now, we all know that's the incarnation. We think of Christmas when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There he came. And John 1:14, you don't have to look at the turn to the places, but John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. at exactly the right time, God became a person. Now, that's the Messiah. That's the one that Israel's been looking for. That's the one that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, who is going to be the seed of woman, who's going to crush the head of the serpent. That was the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah, the seed of David. They all been waiting for him. And here he is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You would think that immediately the nation of Israel would go, yes, we've waited all these years. And they'd be going, there's our man. That's the one we've been talking about all this time. Have you ever read our book? This is the stuff we've been talking about. But you know, when he was born, they didn't even care enough to send anybody down 8 miles to see him being born. The wise men came from long, long away and said, where's he that has been born king of the Jews? And King Herod said, anybody know what they're talking about? And they looked it up and they said, it's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. They wouldn't even go to Bethlehem 8 miles down the road to see him, see if he was born or not. And when he came and he started his ministry some 30 years later, according to Luke, when he was about 30 years old, he began the ministry. He started in the northern part of Israel. He'd come down to the south occasionally, go back. Most of his ministry was in the northern part around the Sea of Galilee. And yet as a nation, as a people group, they looked at him and said, no. He did everything he was supposed to do. Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. He did every sign that the Messiah was supposed to do. He was born where he was supposed to be born. He was the lineage he was supposed to be. He'd heal the sick, the lame walk, blind could see. Gospel was preached. Dead was raised. He did everything he was supposed to do. See, you would say that the nation of Israel should have said, that's for sure our guy. He matches everything. But they missed him. Something happened. I've got there, but John 1:11. John 1:11 says he came into his own people, and his own did what? Received him not. It's talking about his people, the nation of Israel. Not talking about individual people now. When God's dealing with Israel, he's dealing with them as a people group, not individuals, because individual Jewish people trusted Christ, bunches of them, people like Paul and James and Peter and John and all those guys. But as a nation, as a people group, he came into his own, and his own said, no, thank you. That's what they did. How could this happen? This is the mystery of Israel's blindness. I want you to look, just go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 11, okay? We're going to see how this fits together. Just turn a few pages back to Romans chapter 11. If you remember 9, 10, and 11, I'll deal with the nation of Israel, and I'm going to let you see a few things. I'll give you some answers, then we'll come back and get some details. So here's the big question. How could the nation miss their Messiah? How's that possible? Well, Romans 11, 25, I want you to look over there. And he wants us not to miss it, because when he writes to the believers in Rome, some of the same questions would come up. What happened to Israel? Because, see, mostly Rome were Gentiles, and they're believing in Christ. But the question would be, if we're believing in Christ, how come the nation of Israel didn't believe in Christ? How come the Jewish people don't believe in Christ if that's his own people? And so he writes in Romans 11, verse 25, he says, I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this what? Mystery. So that you will not be wise in your own estimation. Don't think that you're better than somebody else just because you believed and they didn't. You know, sometimes believers think that way. We act like we're better than somebody because we believe in Christ and they don't. It's the grace of God you believe in Jesus Christ. So he says, so that you'll not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, on your little sheet down at the bottom, I got the mystery. A partial hardening has come to the nation. And notice, it didn't say a complete hardening. It said a partial hardening. That means there are individual Jewish people who believe in Christ, but the nation as a whole has a partial hardening, that the nation is blind to him, so to speak. So a partial hardening has come to the nation until the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, when he uses the term fullness of the Gentiles, he's saying until all these nations and all these Gentile people believe. And another name, that another way that he might use that is to say until the church comes in, because the Gentiles, the nations, are all peoples. He's saying there's been this partial hardening on the nation of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles. We'd put it this way, until the fullness of God bringing in all of his people, which nowadays we know that's called the what? Church. That's exactly right. Church is made up of Jews and Gentiles. It's a partial hardening because some Jewish people believe, and these nations, these Gentiles believe. He puts them in one body. So simply put, he says this, there's been this partial hardening, this veil, this blindness to Israel until I'm through with who? Who? Church. That's exactly it. See, this is the mystery again. Why is it a mystery? Because church wasn't talked about in the Old Testament. So he says, this is, and I'll give you more details in a minute, but now look at verse 26 because some people get all upset. And so all Israel will be what? Saved. The word saved there means delivered. There's going to come a time in which the nation of Israel as a people group will believe in the Messiah. Not just individually, but as a nation, they will believe in the Messiah. Boy, time is going by too fast. Yes?
So that means as a nation they'll all believe, but there still can be some that don't.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like you did, you said it just perfectly. Okay, now, let me. We're going to have to go fast. Oh, my. That was the bell. The only other thing we can do is, if we don't go real fast, is we go slow, and we finish this next week. But anyway, let me. If we don't, whatever we stop, we'll finish it off next week, okay? Doggone. We don't have enough time in here. Anyway, okay, it says, then all Israel shall be saved. Let me give you this background, see. There's this dullness coming on God's own people. And when the Messiah came, they missed him. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this, but a partial hardening. As a nation, I hardened them, but it's partial because individually there are people who believe. And there's this partial hardening upon my own people until I bring the fullness, till I bring in all of those people who are going to believe in the church. All those who are going to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and I put them in the church. People are always saying things like, when is Jesus Christ going to come back? Well, already know the mystery of the rapture is that he could come back when? Anytime. We don't know when the fullness of the Gentiles is. We do not know when the church is completely full, when all the people who are going to believe have believed. When they have, he's going to go, I'm taking them off. That's the fullness of the Gentiles. Then what am I going to do with this partial hardening to the nation of Israel? It's going to be lifted. The veil is going to be taken off. And then look what that verse says, verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved. Let me say this to you. And this is like bonus, okay? Because I know we're not going to finish, and we'll finish it next week. But let me give you a little bonus on this Romans passage. When it says Israel will be saved, sometimes people get upset on that because they think, you mean every human being is going to believe? But I think Steve said it perfectly a while ago. As a nation of people, they will believe. Individually, they will not. But when this salvation, this word for save here, we use the word saved exactly the way the Bible uses the word saved. There's a Greek word sozo. It means I save. Now, I can say, I saved you a seat. We use that word. Now, so that seat became a believer? No. We know what that means. So he saved it. If I said, I saved some coupons, we know what that means. If we say, my brother was saved last week, and we say, what do you mean? He trusted in Christ. We know what that means. If he says, you know, I was in trouble, and I was about to fall down that thing, and the guy grabbed me and saved me from falling off the side, we would know that we were saved physically. About 80% of the time the word is used in the Bible, saved, it means a physical deliverance. I just want you to understand that. And about 80 to 85% of the time that it's used in the Old Testament, it is a physical deliverance. If you notice in this passage right here where it says, and all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion and he will remove the ungodly. That's an Old Testament quote, by the way. And that passage is dealing with a double salvation. The same is found in Romans 10, where the nation of Israel, they're going to turn to God when the veil is lifted, and they will believe in the Messiah, and they will be saved spiritually as a people group. At the same time, according to Romans 10, they will call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And that passage is not dealing with eternal life salvation. It's dealing with a physical deliverance. When Jesus Christ comes back at the end of this tribulation, because that's when all that's going to happen. Church is taken out. Nation of Israel will believe. They're going through the tribulation 7 years. And then they believe in the Messiah. The nation of Israel then cries out to God and says, get this Antichrist, all these bad things away from us. God comes and delivers his people physically as well as spiritually. That's why Romans 10:9 and 10. 10 says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, and whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's two different salvations in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's why historically people have messed up and said things people need to give their life to Jesus to be saved. That has nothing to do with it. That passage is not even dealing with that. So sometimes people get confused. So I want you to see that when we get into this next week, and we'll just stop where we are and we'll finish the study next week. But you've already got the mystery. Why is it that God would blind His own people? So that what? That's right. He's got to blind them, because this is the mystery. He's going to blind them. They reject the Messiah. He does what with them? He sets them where? Aside for a little while. And then He says, now I'm going to work with Jews and Gentiles together in one body called the church. And He's going to work with the church. And then when the church is full, He says, okay. And then He comes in the clouds, the mystery of the rapture. And He takes the church out. And when He takes the church out, He goes back to Israel. Says, now I'm going to use you. And by the way, I'm removing the veil. And all of a sudden, 144,000 Jewish people believe in the Messiah at the beginning of the tribulation. And then a bunch more Jewish people believe. And they go spread the whole message. And then we get to the end of the tribulation. And as they've called out and they're believing, they cry out to God. And Jesus comes back. That's the mystery of Israel's blindness. But there's some other things I want you to see. And that's why next week we're going to look at Romans and verses chapters 9, 10, and 11. And then we're going to get in chapter 11 and get a little bit more detail. And if you got... Rick, question. You're a Jewish person in Jesus' time. Yeah. You're veiled. I think so. See, the veiling is for a people group, not an individual. I know that sounds weird, but as a people group, they as a people group do not believe, but individually could. So if you're back at the time of Christ, you are just as capable of believing as any other person, as the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Yes. Was that the second bill? Can I get out of this? No, I can't. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Why didn't he choose, do you think, that he didn't choose to have Israel believe and Gentiles believe at the same time and not even do the blindness?
Well, okay, that's a great question. Yeah.
I mean, he could have still had Gentiles believe even without them being Israel being blind, right?
Could have. All right, here's the question. How could he have... Why didn't he let them all believe at the same time? If you got Israel, but why wouldn't he let Israel believe and the Gentiles believe? Well, the best that we could see is when you look at this thing, all of these prophecies about... I mean, let me ask you this question. If all of the Gentiles... If the nation of Israel had accepted the Messiah and all the Gentiles would believe too, what still had to happen to Christ? He has to die. What's all the prophecies? All the Old Testament prophecies said he has to die on the cross, that he has to shed his blood, he has to pay for the sin of the world. So even if the nation of Israel would have believed in him as a people group and Gentiles as well, he's still got to go to the cross. And guess what? There's still going to have to be an Antichrist. Those were prophecies. So technically speaking, it's going to be kind of hard. Everybody would have to crucify Christ in belief, not unbelief, which makes it pretty hard there too, doesn't it? Yes.
This ties into the 7 years left in Daniel.
The 7 years left in Daniel, which I'll mention again next week to get more details, that 7 years for the Jewish people to finish their responsibility, that happens when he takes the veil off, and that's why they're serving him and proclaiming Christ, because up to that point in time, they're veiled and they're not proclaiming Christ. That's exactly why, because it's their responsibility. Does that help a little? Okay, if you save up questions, think about them, and we'll get to it next week, and we'll start sort of in the middle here, and I'll give a running flow, and then we'll get into it, okay? I think we had the second bell already, didn't we? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for these truths. Lord, we thank you, first of all, that if the nation of Israel would have believed, there might have never been a church. But we thank you that you allowed us to come into this world and exist and then be part of the body of Christ. And we thank you for all that. Lord, we thank you for your plan that we look at it and go, it just doesn't always add up exactly right for us. But you know that everything is perfect. You are an infinite God. We're finite. Your plan is perfect. You work it all according to the counsel of your will. May we trust in you and rest in you and help us to understand, Lord, this mystery of Israel's blindness so that we can share these truths with others as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.